Hey, hey, you found us. This is Grooming Unleashed, where we learn and talk about the ins and outs of the pet grooming industry. From pro groomers and salon owners to show hosts and dog handlers, we'll jump into the stressful and crazy stories of the day-to-day operations of the crazy world of grooming. I'm your host, Ryan Alvarez. Our podcast is sponsored by Loyalty Pet Products. Loyalty Pet Products provides quality grooming tools and accessories at an affordable price. From shears to stripping knives to smocks and hammocks, Loyalty Pet Products has an essential tool to fit your expectation and style. Use code UNLEASHED to save 10% today. Loyalty Pet Products, uniquely designed, beautifully priced.
That was the happiest I was with my grooms, even more so than this weekend. And they were perfect, in my opinion. And I was just, it made my day. Like, not even, if I didn't even place, if I'm just happy with my grooms and I compare to other people and I'm pretty close to them, to what I think is right, I'm like, I'm happy. I'm getting somewhere. I'm learning. I don't have to place. But it does help. But just seeing your lines and comparing to what you've done in the past.
Our next guest has been grooming since she was 15, but did not start getting into competitive grooming until a couple years ago. And this past weekend, she won first place in intermediate freestyle. She's a mom. She owns her own shop. She's beautiful, and she happens to be my wife. So without further ado, I bring you Jazair Alvarez.
Hey, everybody. This is Ryan Alvarez with Grooming Unleashed, and this is episode 6. I am here with a beautiful and very talented, and I can say that because it is my wife, Jazair Alvarez. Jazair, welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone.
So I brought Jazair onto the show for, well, she's going to be coming onto the show for many reasons because she owns her own shop and she's worked for corporate, she's worked for a mom and pop shop. So there's going to be a lot of facets that I can have her on the show for. However, one of the things I was going to have her on the show for kind of got sped up a little bit because Jazair won first place at Fun in the Sun for intermediate freestyle. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and introduce people a little bit about who you are. And
well, let's see. My mom has been a poodle breeder for the last 12 years, and my sister is a groomer, my aunt was a groomer, and my mom grooms as well. So I kind of got thrown into the grooming world by my family. I started when I was 15. So about 12 years ago is when I started in a little shop on the weekends during school. And then school was out and I started full-time when I was 18. So pretty much got thrown into it and I love it. I didn't like it at first. I said I will never have a job in grooming because I hated grooming my standard poodle, and look at me now. I love it now. It just took me a little while.
Yeah. Now, and we'll get to the competitive thing really shortly, but tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 27.
And so you've been grooming since you were 15?
Mm-hmm.
Officially?
Officially.
Yeah, yep. Because you were part-time grooming with your mom when you were like 12 and stuff.
I was grooming poodles when I was 12 when I got my first standard poodle.
How is your body treating you right now?
Well, I was good for a while, but I now go to the chiropractor. I go and get massages, having neck issues, wrist issues, back problems. So I definitely suggest going and getting your body taken care of before it gets too late, because I did not take care of my body until recently when I was in a lot of pain. And it has paid off, definitely, because our body is very important in this industry.
Yeah, I mean, Jazair's always kind of like worried about her wrist probably the last couple of years for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can imagine you being 18 years old and lifting up mom and pop shop.
Yep.
But it's also, and we talked about this when we first started the business with Loyalty Pet Products, but it's the, sometimes when you first get into grooming, you really don't know how to hold the scissors the correct way, and you're holding the dog the wrong way. And
twisting.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Do you feel like you've learned that over time, or did somebody stop you and say, sorry, that's not the right way, and then that's, you had to make an adjustment that way, or what?
So I am better by watching other people and not really, I'm not the person to ask questions. I watch and I learn. So I watch videos, I watch people groom in competition, and I just watch how they hold their hands. I watch how steady they are with their hands when they're scissoring, and I basically just learn by seeing more than anything. So okay. I didn't have a lot of people teach me.
Was there one video that you saw that you were like, aha, I get it now? Like one that comes to mind right off the top of your head?
About scissoring? It's been a long time since I watched one. It's been years. No. You know, actually, I did learn a lot from Jody Murphy's video when I had a show poodle.
Which one specifically? Because she has like 3,000 videos.
It was the one where she did the Continental on the poodle. It was a miniature poodle, and I had a miniature poodle at the time. And I was 15. And I was going to show in junior showmanship for confirmation. And my mom got me this $100 video. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I can do this. And I learned a lot from her, honestly. And that was the first Continental I ever did when I was 15.
Awesome.
So, yeah, my mom helped me out.
Is that what you did Ellie in this past weekend?
Ellie was in a German.
German, okay.
My first weekend was a Continental. Or my first grooming competition was a Continental, which was a disaster. But I will learn timing. Timing's important.
Yeah, I'm going to learn over time also, like, types of cuts and breeds and stuff. I still will say, oh, look, it's a Boston Terrier. She's like, no, it's not.
It's a Frenchie.
So, all right, well, so let's get into why we have people here today, which is the competitive grooming and how you got into it. So take us back 6 years ago it was actually 7 years ago now, that when we met and you took me to Fun in the Sun, and I mentioned something to you, I think the year after, 2013.
Yep.
Because you were just so glued to people on stage and watching them. Do you remember what I told you back then, 6 years ago?
That you can see me out there. Yeah. I don't remember the exact words. I
remember I said I could picture you up there. Yep. And then I said, I will pay for your entry fees you need to get out there. So then when did you decide to do it? Like what year and why?
Well, so I got into show grooming 5 years ago. My mom, like I said, has been breeding for many years, and she wanted to start showing. Our friend Teresa, opened up my mom to showing, and my mom's like, you're the one to going in the ring, you're the one gonna do these haircuts, because you're the groomer. My mom grooms too, but she wanted me out there to help show her dogs, and that basically opened up a lot of different things for me, because I was just a pet groomer doing pet trims, didn't really care to get into anything more. But when I started to do a Continental or an HCC is what I started with, and then do puppy cuts, that kind of opened me up. I had to learn the structure of the dogs. And so showing basically got me into competing, because I was already learning it anyways. And I said, well, heck, if I can do this for the show ring, I can do it for competition too. And my mom and Ryan, they all pushed me and said I could do it. And so I've always had that supportive team, and it's helped me get into the ring and where I am now. I definitely appreciate them being there for me every time, and you know.
So Fun in the Sun 2017, that was the first competition that you entered, and before we get into like your nerves and everything like that, what do you, like, did you think that you would win first place 2 years later? Let's put it that way.
I didn't. No, I struggled so much. Like I said earlier, I walked in there with Ellie, 6 weeks of growth, and everyone else, it seemed like it was a lot less. And I walked in there probably with the hairiest dog in a Continental spray up, because I was showing her. And 2 hours and 15 minutes for her, and I was dying to finish that groom. I didn't take enough hair off. The spray up was terrible. My dog was really good, but I didn't get to have the finish I would like. So it'll be a couple years before I get back in there with the Continental.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but before we went on live, I think like 6 hours ago.
You posted.
I posted the memory that came up on Facebook of you first doing your competition in 2017.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like surreal. I was like, wow, it was like today.
It was,
like today
yeah.
was the day, like 2 years ago. So let's go to the night before. The night before you compete.
My first competition?
Your very first competition. So what like as far as scheduling a bath, mm-hmm. What tools you wanted to bring up there, what to wear, if you were thinking about the timing, if you just wanted to have, if you just had a certain goal, go take us through the night before you competed.
So the night before, I was flustered because I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I bathe Ellie, I got a bathing time at like in the afternoon. And I was thinking to myself, everyone's there like 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning. And there was no slots by the time I got there for that early. And so I was kind of freaking out because I thought Ellie would be really curly the next day if I brought her in and we gave her about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I was kind of really freaking out about that, but it worked out really well. She's got nice hair. So I gave her the bath and then I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and fluffed her at our house because we rent a house every year. And I fluffed her out with my little hand dryer, and I still do that to this day, and my brush, and I showed up and she was still curly because as soon as we walked outside,
the humidity
got to her in Florida. And so she had quite a bit of waves in her, but I brushed her out before. My nerves were insane. I'm a big coffee drinker, and I didn't get coffee because that would put me over the edge, and I probably would have been up there shaking, like, because caffeine gets to me pretty quickly. And, yeah, so I was so nervous. I was so nervous. You ever get nervous where you are hot, but you're cold at the same time, and you're, like, sweating, and, like...
I think that's the flu.
It's, like, clammy. I don't even know, but I always get that way, and I'm over it now, but it was just so nerve-wracking, and I think I was pregnant. I was pregnant.
So, let's see, 2017, you would have been...
No,
you were pregnant the year before.
The year before. I think this is 2016, then. 17, 18, 19. It's been 3 years?
No. 2017 is when you entered, unless you posted
it. It was 3 years ago because it's my third time competing. Because last year
Not
I competed with Vision. Yeah.
Second time.
It's my third time. I competed with Vision the last time. And the time before that was Ellie. So 3 years ago. I was pregnant. Yes, I was. Because I remember that picture that somebody took of me.
We have kids?
So I was pregnant by, I think, like 5 months. 6 months? Something like that. I was just showing.
Okay.
So, yeah. There was that, too.
All right. So, now, let's go to September of 2018. So, last year,
mm-hmm.
you got invited to join a groom team.
Florida groom team.
For mm-hmm. IJA. What does IJA stand for?
International Judges Association.
Okay, and so that is like a different, that's different than National Dog Groomers Association of America.
Yep, or the Barkley.
Or the Barkley contest and stuff.
Yeah.
So now you decided that you were going to go and you joined this team for Florida. You had to raise your own money.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so you went to Pittsburgh in your own, like on your own.
On my own, with my two dogs.
With your two dogs, and you stayed with girls that you really had never... Yeah, I think you met them
for
lunch.
Yep, I met them lunch.
For lunch. How'd you do at that show?
I did really good. That was kind of eye-opening because they gave you, I think, like 15 minutes extra on each dog. And that made such a huge difference for me. It was my first time competing in Asian Fusion with my girl Safari. Her face wasn't even grown out all the way. Her legs weren't grown out. She was completely dyed. And we did really well. I think there was like over 20 competitors and we got third place.
And as a team. And then how did
no,
you do?
No, as me alone, oh, okay. As an individual, I got third place and I was really, really happy. Like it was my first time with this cut and it was amazing. And then the following day I competed in poodle class with spray ups. And we got second place with Tesla, which I did not think I would place because Tesla is a red girl with a very curly, thin coat and very hard to scissor. Very, very hard to scissor. So we got second place and that was awesome. I was not expecting it.
And so you feel like those two accolades with IJA kind of springboarded you to your confident level?
Yep.
And
I placed and I'm like, oh, I can do this. I can do this on time. My grooms were, I was really happy with them, the outline. And that basically said, you can do this. You need to go to more shows because you're only going to get better and you need to push yourself. And that's kind of what pushed me. I'm trying to get into every show I can if I get deadlines made because I'm terrible with that.
Yeah, so it's really hard. I know Jazair really wanted to compete in Hershey and it sold out within like
two minutes. I called and or tried to get in like 5 minutes after and everything was out.
Yeah,
I
so tried. For those of you guys that are looking to try to compete for the first time, don't wait and think about it. You really need to find out like when it things open up.
Yes.
And so for, should I mention the...
No, because then I won't get in. You can tell them the date.
All right. So anyways, there's a show coming out. Just be on alert that you need to look for it and sign up.
Yeah.
And then there is one coming up in January that's a smaller show that might still have some availability. And that's...
Palmetto Pet Expo.
Palmetto Groom.
Palmettogroom.com.
Okay. So check that out. That's actually at Hilton Head, South Carolina. And we're going to be... Loyalty Pet Products is going to be sponsoring that as well.
Yeah.
Really beautiful resort area. And then it's not that expensive and they allow pets. It's like $120 a night. So like... A little bit more expensive than a La Quinta, but you're on like Hilton Head Island.
It's gorgeous. I mean, pictures, we haven't been there, but the pictures are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so really excited.
Check that out. If you guys want like a smaller show to start at, that would probably be a perfect one. And Philip Schaefmeyer's helping put that one on, as well as Kathy Musto, I believe. I'm sorry if I messed up your name. But those two are definitely the ones that I've been in contact with as far as sponsoring goes and being a vendor. And they would be more than willing to help you out if you have any questions. But smaller shows, in my opinion, would probably be the best way to go.
Definitely.
Just unless you like the spotlight, if you really like the spotlight and you tend to do better under pressure, then by all means, Hershey's probably the one, like the one to start out at. All right. So now you placed... in Pittsburgh in September of 2018, and then let's zoom to Louisiana in 2019, which would have been in May. How'd you do with the IJA competition there?
I went with Safari again, and we got first place. That was the happiest I've been with a groom ever. Both of my grooms were like perfect. Perfect in my opinion. I was so happy. And so we got first place with Safari and Freestyle. And then first place with my mom's dog that I co-own, Kitty. She's a brindle, a standard poodle. And we did a German cut on her. And I was really happy with both of my grooms. So we got first place.
Good. That too. And then, so once you got first place, after you got the second and third place, are you like, okay, not that you like, I got this, I'm like the best, but like, did you definitely feel like, okay, I know how these things work. I know a little bit more about what the judges are looking for, and your confidence at this point is just kind of like, all right, just keep it rolling and sign me up for more things.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It did help build my confidence up. That was the happiest I was with my grooms, even more so than this weekend. And they were perfect in my opinion. And I was just, it made my day. Like, not even, if I didn't even place, if I'm just happy with my grooms and I compare it to other people and I'm pretty close to them, to what I think is right, I'm like, I'm happy. I'm getting somewhere. I'm learning. I don't have to place, but it does help. But just seeing your lines and comparing to what you've done in the past and you're like, wow, I've come so far. Like, it makes a huge difference.
What is a critique a judge has given you that you were like, this is spot on, like, I get it now because they said something to me, and like, yeah, I see that now because they pointed it out. Do you remember the judge, or do you remember exactly what they said, or both?
So, honestly, the first critique I've ever got was this weekend. I'm usually kind of a I gotta go kind of person. This weekend I did Ellie in a German, and I wasn't happy with her legs, and she's got really thin coat. So I knew it wasn't like perfect. And that's kind of what the judge said too. She said, you need to build up the coat with some shampoos and some protein. And so I'm going to work on that. But that's She was right on, because that's what I looked at my dog. I'm like, look, my legs kind of suck. Like, they did. And even my husband said it after. He's like, I noticed everything was good, but your legs. I'm like,
say,
I know.
Yeah, I didn't say that they sucked.
No, just, no.
I know,
that's what I thought.
I know what the legs that you've done before in the past look like or can look like.
Yes.
And I remember telling a couple of the people that we know that were watching you, like, oh, wow, she's doing a good job. I'm like, yeah, I don't think she's going to be happy with the legs.
I wasn't.
But
no.
Your body and the face and the head were, like, really good. And I just thought that if you had fixed the legs to be, like, what you've normally done in the past, mm-hmm. you could have placed with her also.
Yeah. Well, see, the difference between her coat, too, is her legs are super thin. Really hard to scissor, like my red girl. And her top knot and her neck and her back are, like, thick and nice. And now I just need to make her bottom legs like that because they're so thin. But yeah, that was definitely a good critique. And I knew that's what I needed to work on. Yeah.
So what's the next competition that you're already signed up for?
It's the Palmetto Groom. Yeah, Palmetto Groom is
okay.
the next one.
And then what classes are you entering in there?
I am entering 3 classes with all standard poodles. Freestyle with Safari again. Poodle class with Ellie probably, and I'm doing this clipper only class, and I was just preparing it for or preparing last week or this week
practicing right?
yeah to kind of do this clipper only class with my mom's standard poodle, her brindle poodle Kitty, which was in a German a few months back. She's in an HCC. So it's called a historically correct continental. And I literally did her whole body with a 30 blade and skimmed over it and put her in a and did her whole continental with it. It was very eye-opening, and I'm crazy for even entering.
Yeah. Well, no, but sometimes you got to get outside the box.
Oh, it's going to be outside the box.
Right. Jazeera texted me, and she texted me the picture of, like, and just saying practicing for, you know, Palmetto. And I thought the cut looked good. And she's like, this is the hardest thing ever.
It's the hardest thing I've ever, like, challenged myself with, like, in grooming. It's so hard. I did not rosettes, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Bracelets, all with a clipper. They actually turned out really well. They were round. And I started probably with 5 inches of hair. This dog had so much coat. My mom has been letting her grow until I could get my hands on her and have the time. And yeah, one day I'll post that picture.
Why won't you post
of the before
that?
And after. Because I wasn't super happy with the placement of it. Oh. So I got to move a couple things.
So you're going to do a before or like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Or not that long. 3 months ago and then at the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same dog, right?
Same dog, yep.
Okay, so
yep.
that would be a good comparison.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to jump into some questions from the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are really good questions. So for those of you guys that commented these questions, thank you very much, because it just adds to the flavor of the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you are watching us live and you do have a question for Jazeera for getting into competitive grooming.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, I think a lot of people on Instagram are just waving.
Yes, I see that.
And then we do have people that are watching us on Facebook Live as well. So what accessories do you carry extra into the ring or on stage?
So I've learned cotton balls and Q-tips and alcohol are probably my top 3 things.
And explain
why. And you don't think of it. So I like always clean the ears the day before. And there has been times I walked in the ring and I had some dirt in my ears. And I'm like, oh crap, does somebody have cotton balls? This happened in IJA. I'm like, I need cotton balls. Like, anybody have them? And you're like asking everyone. And thank God somebody came to the rescue on another team. It was Kentucky team. I don't even know who it was, but I remember it was the Kentucky team, and so I've learned to carry cotton balls and Q-tips and alcohol because, God forbid, you cut a dog or you need to clean your ears or you need to wipe off, like, something that gets on your dog. I use alcohol and cotton balls for it all so I can kind of clean up because you never know. You never know what happens. You don't think. It happens, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm not prepared.
And this is not one of the questions, but Safari falls asleep lot on the table. And I remember that was your biggest fear. But you never used the peppermint. You never, like, you were going
to
use the peppermint.
I meant to use the peppermint.
Smelly.
Essential oil. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. So I meant to use peppermint this last weekend to get her hyped up, but I forgot. Safari, I've competed with her 3 times, and this dog is the most hyper dog out of all 6 of our dogs. And she falls asleep, like, instantly. As soon as I start and I'm 20 minutes in, she's literally falling off my table. And I'm poking in her belly saying, "Hey, Safari, you gotta wake up." And yeah, I get scared.
She's not a light dog either.
She's a big 60-pound standard poodle. She's a big girl. And for her to fall, that would be bad.
So this one, I'm not sure if you want to touch on that again.
Yeah, so timing before competing. I had somebody asking, how do you prepare for your timing before you compete, or how do you plan it out? What's worked really well for me, other people, things might work out better for them, but for me, I like to groom my whole dog, get everything done so it looks okay. And then whatever time I have left, I like to actually perfect it. So I want to make sure all 4 of my legs are done, make sure my head's done, my neck, and then go back and take whatever. If I got 30 minutes, I got 30 minutes to make my dog perfect. At least my dog is done. So that's what I like to do, and it works really well for me. Otherwise, I hear people saying, "Oh my God, I worked 30 minutes on one leg to get it perfect." And then you have 3 other legs to do, and you're like, "Oh crap, I have like 45 minutes, and I spent 30 minutes on one leg to get it perfect."
Yeah, I think that's a big fear. I remember seeing that comment.
It is, yes, yep. Yeah.
So, now this is your first competition that you had to do back-to-back.
It is.
And I know that you were really freaking out about that.
I was.
To the point that you only signed up for one bathing session because you decided it'd be easier for you to bathe Safari in the house that we rented.
Yes. So I did have somebody lined up and it just didn't work out right to bathe Safari. So I was back to back 7:30 in the morning for Ellie. And then we were out at 12 and 12:45. I was back in the ring with Safari. I have 2 standard poodles. They take me a couple hours, if not 3 hours to prep. So I literally did Ellie the day before at 3 something in the afternoon. And then I did Safari at 10 o'clock at night in our bathtub in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little hand dryer. And this girl's coat is like...
Girl,
I know. But this girl's coat is so thick. It is so thick and it drives me crazy. And I spent 3 hours, I believe, fluffing her out. And my mom helped me. She held the dryer. It was like, you know, a human dryer. And she held it and I brushed. And yeah... It's dedication. That's the best thing.
Speaking of dedication, let's go back to that night.
Yes.
Jazaire wanted to be a little bit of pulling from the book, The Secret. She wanted to be a little bit optimistic, finally, in terms of like planning ahead.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, maybe I should get a dress in case I win first place because you're supposed to dress nicely for, you know, if you win, they take a nice picture of you."
And no, that's for best in show. And best, like, in groups.
Well, either way.
You're supposed to dress up.
Yes, you should dress up if you win. Yeah. So, Jazaire was like, I need to buy a dress in case I win. And
let me just say, I usually bring one and high heels, but I forgot this time. I don't know what got into me.
I was, in the back of my head, I was like, all right, that's good that she's really thinking this way. That means that she has the confidence to at least think that she can win. So it's like 10 o'clock at night. No, it was like 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fighting this sickness for, I don't know, 3 weeks. And so I'm feeling like crap. I'm tired. And we were thinking about having company over for pizza and drinks and stuff like that. And then Jazaire's bathing the dog in the bathtub. And I decide to do what, honey? What do I pick up at the store for you?
You decide to go to Ross and pick me up a beautiful dress. Or two dresses to make sure that they fit and they look good and is my style. He sent me pictures. He tried to do like a live video and it wasn't working.
Work. Yeah.
So, and then he asked some ladies, I guess, or a lady in the
I saw a mom that had 3 daughters and I was like, okay, if I don't ask, I'm going to make a mistake, but if I do ask, they're going to think I'm insane, but I'm at least going to get a good dress.
Yeah.
And I believe they were from like Jamaica or, you know, definitely not from the United States. And she was so friendly. And so I showed her the sizes that Jazeera was, and I was like, okay, I think she'll like this one. And then she pointed to a dress. I'm like, no, she definitely will not like that one. And then so we agreed on it. We pulled one out. We both said, oh, that's pretty. And then so I definitely got that one. And then I got you a backup.
Mm-hmm.
I got you something else that night. But that was something that another guy tends to have to go into the store for his girlfriend or wife every once in a while when she needs it.
You're so funny.
And that was so that was a twofer. I mean, that was like I had to go into
you
Publix to grab something.
You were a good husband. Yes,
and then
you
I had
were.
To go into Ross and get a dress.
Yep.
And so for at least one night, I was husband of the year.
Husband of the year. I agree.
For a night.
For a night.
If that
well,
makes
thank
sense.
God he got that dress because I wore it for first place for group. And I didn't have high heels. I had some like flat shoes that were brown and my dress was like blue. So nobody judged, but it's better than, you know, Skechers. So, yeah.
I was going to say something and I just kind of lost my train of thought, but... It'll come back to me. So how do you start competing? So let's say you're a really good, or even you think you're ready for competing. How do you go about even starting? Like, where do you look online? Who do you talk to? How do you sign up for these entries? All this other stuff, kind of in a nutshell.
I would definitely start out by going to shows, going to trade shows, talking to people, asking questions, going to seminars. There's so many things that are done at trade shows and you can benefit from just watching the competitors, learning. You really got to get in with the competitors or even dog show people if you don't have your own dog, because a lot of customers, it's really hard to have or use their dogs to travel with. So you really have to do your research, talking to people, saying, hey, I'd like to get into, say, poodles. Do you know anybody? You know, that's the biggest thing I say is trade shows. It's open doors waiting for people to learn. That's why they're put on. So.
And I talked about this in episode three about going to trade shows and why it's really important. And I don't know. I feel like every time we go now, we're just connecting with more and more people. And
yes,
some of these people I think are going to be lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what it's really all about. I mean, I told her, you know, you guys know that I'm the owner of Loyalty Pet Products and we are the sponsor of this podcast, but I don't like to plug the products or anything, which I haven't, and I don't plan on doing it. However, the whole vending aspect of it this past weekend, I literally on the way up told Jazeera, I don't even care about sales this weekend. I really care about connecting with people.
Yeah.
And it made for a more enjoyable weekend. I mean...
It did. I agree.
You know, so we're already looking forward to hanging out with some people in Palmetto and then as well as Atlanta.
Yeah.
Renting a house and hanging out with them. I guess somebody asked, when you don't really have a dog to compete with, do you suggest the Rescue Roundup?
So I have not competed in Rescue Roundup. It's always been full. And I'm a procrastinator. So I want to do Rescue Roundup. And that, I honestly, like, I don't know much about it, but I think that would be the best place to start. It's like grooming an everyday dog. You know, they're not going to have the perfect coat, the perfect attitude. They're not going to have specifications as far as, hey, your dog has to have this front and this rear leg. It's whatever you want to do, you do it. And it gets your foot in the door. It's just fun. So I would definitely start in Rescue Roundup, especially if you don't have your own dog or know how to get a dog. They're supplied for you. So I would highly suggest starting there. Yeah.
What do you recommend? Do you recommend getting your master's while competing? Or talk a little bit about that, because I just realized that actually this past weekend. And I got on to you a little bit about it because I really want you to get your master's. I know that you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes back to procrastinating. And
it
again,
does.
And again,
I'm
it goes back to you saying, oh, I'm not really ready yet.
Yes.
Which this was the story, which we thought was 2 years ago. Apparently it's 3 years ago.
It is 3 years ago. Yeah.
But So talk a little bit about getting your master's while you compete.
So like he said, I haven't gone through the steps, but I kind of know how it works. So you can get, it's not even master's. It's just your certification for, say,
sporting
group, non-sporting, long-legged terrier and short-legged terrier. So those are the four. You can get certified when you are competing, for NDGAA anyways. That's the one I know. You basically go in there, groom your dog. I believe they take pictures, and then you go after your dog's groomed. After you're done competing, you go and talk to one of the certifying judges, and they go over your dog and you take your test. And that's our written exam as well. I don't know if you do it at the same time. I don't believe so. But like I said, I haven't gone through the steps. This is from word of mouth. So I could be a little bit off.
I believe the written exam is when you sign up for it.
It is when you sign up? Okay.
And the reason being is because Emily Landers demoed in our booth.
Yes.
And then she told me, she goes, oh, I have to take my test later today. I'm like, oh my gosh, well, go ahead and go. She's like, oh, it's fine. She can go whenever.
Oh, okay.
And then Kelsey Ann Sexton was taking her test on Monday.
Yes.
So it was after the competitions were completed.
Yes, because usually the
you're too rings busy filled up. So let's see what else we got here. What order should you follow after bathing and drying?
So I like to... so I'm poodles. This is, it's kind of a general question. I groom poodles. I'm the poodle groomer. So I like to obviously fluff the dog out completely with a heated dryer. And I start off with nails, ears, getting that all done, and then perfecting my feet. Because for competition, for NDGAA, you can do the feet before the competition. So I make sure I get every little hair out of there. I shave the ears, I shave the sanitary, and get all that done. And then basically I do what I said earlier. I do the whole dog, and then I perfect it after the dog is basically outlined.
Okay. What's the best advice you have for a new groomer or someone who is interested in getting into grooming?
Going to trade shows. It's that same... It's just, there's so much you can learn and see and connect, and it's the way to go. You want to become a groomer? Go to a trade show, and then you can see, is this something I can do? I mean, yeah, it might be a little bit different than the, you know, everyday salon, but it does help and open your eyes to something that you might be able to see yourself doing and learning, you know? And yeah, trade shows are the top place to go.
I'll save that one for then we got two more questions that were submitted to us. How do you go about finding a mentor while grooming, and like working full time?
So that's definitely something that is hard. With being a mom, it's really hard to go away from your kids and
we'll get into that next.
Yes. Well, yeah. So grooming a full day, you know, I work from 8 to 3 'cause I got to pick up kids after. So 8 to 3 and then having time to just go and learn from somebody else is really hard, but it's all about dedication. If this is something you really want to do, you will find that time on the weekend where you have a couple hours in the evening after work or on a Sunday when you're supposed to spend time with your family. You take those couple hours and learn. I mean, it's not going to be forever. Once you learn it, it's done. You learn something that can last with you forever. So it's taking that time out of your week to learn, because you need to have that dedication if it's what you want.
I wouldn't say that you've necessarily, you've had role models, but I don't know if you've
I have never had a mentor. I have
you've
not.
You've never had someone that's really taken you under the wing and been like, hey, Jazera, let me show you how to do it. No, I don't think anyone's really done that before.
No.
And if so, it was probably for like 15, 20 minutes. As opposed to 15, 20 weeks where they were really guiding you, like either over the phone, over Skype, over, you know. And so if someone were to do that right now at your stage, what is the one thing that you really want to learn how to do? And I know the answer, but they don't.
You do?
I believe it's hand stripping.
Hand stripping, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely hand stripping. I only groom poodles and only know poodles, and poodles are my life. I want to learn other breeds, and I don't have that opportunity just yet or time.
Which means we are getting another dog soon.
Getting another dog. Just kidding.
Fantastic.
No, we got a couple years. So that's definitely hand stripping and sporting. I love it. And I keep looking at breeds to get, to own. But, yeah.
And then number two would be Bichons.
Oh, Bichons. So I have show Bichons that I can learn on. I have a really nice customer that allows me to, work on her show Bichons. And I've learned a lot from them, actually.
So I'm going to name drop real quick, because mm-hmm. we have made these connections in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Gabriel Fitosa
mm-hmm.
and Allison Brooks,
mm-hmm.
who are like Bichon like amazing groomers with that breed.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have been fortunate enough. We had a Groom of the Week contest.
Yep.
And the winner happened to be going to the Fun in the Sun competition. And for one reason or another, they actually had time to demo in our booth. We made a connection yes. with her. And she wants to learn how to do poodles. And you want to learn yep. how to do hand stripping.
Yep.
So you talk about the importance of trade shows and making connections. Yeah. There's perfect examples right there. I didn't know Gabriel through Instagram. I knew Gabriel because I saw him at these trade shows, and I saw him at the Global Pet Expo. When I saw him at the Global Pet Expo and I said hi to him and we hugged, that's my type of person. I'm a hugger. So like for him to hug me because he remembers seeing me at a trade show, I really made that instant connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jazera knows that I'm a person feeler in terms of like, I really get gut vibes on people, and I know when they're good people deep down inside. And sometimes I'm wrong. Not always. But you know, you have to be positive in terms of, you know,
yeah.
thinking that people are better than worse. So, I mean, I met two other people that that we did not hang out with that were competing. And one gentleman, if he watches this, he needs to contact me because I gave him my contact information. His first name was Brandon. I think he competed like 4 different classes.
He did. I think
and his wife is a competitor too. So Brandon or Stephanie, if you guys are watching this, one of you guys needs to contact me, please. Ryan at loyaltypetproducts.com. All right. So the last question that was submitted to us, we both thought was a really, really good question, because you're definitely rising as far as a groomer goes, but you know, real life sets in when the competition's done and you get home and we unpack. Because we have kids.
The worst.
We have Riker and Kinley, and Kinley's about to turn 2 in the next 6 months, and then
yep.
Riker's going to turn 4 here in the next 3 months, which is crazy.
Yep, that is
so
crazy.
So how do you juggle being a competitive groomer, and I'm even going to throw in this too, a shop owner and a full-time mom and wife?
I show dogs and breed.
Oh, and let's talk about that too. So Princeton Poodles, you yes. are also part of, which is purebred standard poodles that mm-hmm. you breed.
Yep.
That I kind mom. Of, yeah, exactly. And Colleen Martin. But we have a lot of dogs too. We have
7
dogs now. We had 6. Actually, at one point we had 9.
Mm-hmm.
2 passed, and then 1 was given to a
friend.
Yep, given to a friend. Not that she was bad. She was just retired, and that was an elderly lady, and she needed some company.
She did, yeah.
So, but we had 6, and Ellie is such a great dog that her and I agreed that the next best thing to cloning would be to just keep one of her puppies, which we did, and that yes. puppy is the most hyper thing on the planet.
She's a puppy.
But she, as far as the show quality...
She's going to be very nice in the show.
Yeah, she runs yeah. and prances already, so... Yeah. Go ahead. How do you juggle all those things and not go crazy?
So fortunately, I'm a very hyper person that doesn't sit down for a second. It has helped a lot. And I love coffee a lot. So, okay. All honesty, I love what I do. And yes, I take away time with the kids, but we spend a lot of time together. We probably leave, once a month we leave for a weekend. It's pretty consistently once every
for
month.
For trade shows and stuff?
Yeah.
It should be more, but, you know, I'm still a full-time teacher and you exactly. own the shop, so it's...
It's hard to close the shop down. So, yeah, we travel once a month and we have a very awesome, my mother-in-law, Janet.
My mom.
Your mom. She is always there to watch the kiddos. And so she watches them for a whole week sometimes when we go to like Pennsylvania and
they always get sick.
They always get sick. Always every get time sick. We leave, they get sick. But she watches them and thank God she does. And that gives us the opportunity to go. And I'm definitely taking advantage of that now because when they're in school officially, it's going to be a lot harder. So yeah, it's a lot. Running the shop, you know, I have a couple litters a year, so I have to raise the puppies, and yeah, it's a lot. And then I go to dog shows. I go to dog shows every couple months, but I am going to start getting into a lot more dog shows with my puppy that I kept from Ellie. So we're going to be doing a lot of traveling here soon.
Do you see yourself as a dog handler?
I do not. See myself as a dog handler. I love to travel, but not that much. That's no. every single week and you're gone at a dog show.
Yeah, no thanks.
And people are depending on you. I'm good. If I don't win, I'm fine with my own dog. So yeah. I could never be a handler.
The dog shows I like to go to also. It's just there's also times where, you know, Riker just started playing soccer, and so there's certain mm-hmm. there's certain things that I might not be able to go for the whole weekend or
yeah.
But we you know, this is my best friend, so, you know, that's why I married her, and she just happens to be beautiful, but all the things that you guys know about Jazaire, that, I mean, there's so much more that she does behind the scenes, as I'm sure a lot of you moms do, and dads, and, you know, kudos to you guys, you groomers really just, you bust your tail, and I try to tell you that as much as possible, and I know it might sound like a sales pitch, but I mean, I see it firsthand. I know that you guys have a shelf life with your body and your wrists mm-hmm. and everything. And you guys don't, it's kind of like me. I'm a teacher. We just don't get appreciated as much as we should because you're not just a groomer. You're a caretaker. You're someone who really loves someone else's dog and you really care for them. And so you have this bond with them. And that's how I am with teaching. Is I'm not just a teacher. I'm a psychologist. There's so many things. I'm a coach. There's so many things wrapped into one title, but you're so much more. So,
mm-hmm.
And yesterday was International Pet Groomers Appreciation Day, which was yep. the first one ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, I'm glad that was acknowledged and created because it's definitely overdue.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
If you guys that are watching us live right now, if you have any questions you want to ask Jazaire, we'll kind of have one more minute for you to submit any questions that you might have for her.
Let's see.
In the meantime, Jazaire, is there anything that you want to...
Convene at dog shows too. What?
Is there anything that you want to tell the public that might be interested in... grooming, or I guess I can ask you, what's your favorite grooming show, trade show that you've been to?
Oh, it's definitely got to be Hershey. I love Hershey.
Why is that?
Everybody's there, and it's like, I can get everything. It's beautiful. The place is gorgeous to walk in, and just buy tons of stuff. And then you see everybody. Everybody goes to Hershey. Like, everyone's there. It's the best. So if you ever have the opportunity to go to Hershey, definitely go. That would be the one I would go to.
Okay, so Joshua Johnson mm-hmm. just asked a question. Hey, Josh, what are your favorite tools to use when you are prepping?
Chris Christensen.
Well, be more specific.
Okay, Coral Brush, Chris Christensen. I love their shampoo as well. I use Spectrum One in my poodles. And then I also use Protein Builder, or Substance Builder, I think is the name of it, to fluff up the coat. And I have this amazing Resco comb that is not made anymore, unfortunately, and it's the best comb ever, but I can't recommend it because it's not made anymore, but, and then I like Secret Weapon finishing spray. It's amazing. It demats, it conditions, you don't even feel it when you're scissoring. It's awesome for a scissoring spray. It's really good stuff. Really expensive, but it's awesome. And Whitman sells it is who I get it from.
Whitman's,
yep.
Yep.
They're the only people that carry a Secret Weapon. It's really, really good stuff.
Okay. What do you think about your grooming apparel when you are in the ring?
Well, this weekend, I wore the amazing Loyalty Pet Product pants.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I did not say that.
Yeah. So, no, they actually are pretty freaking awesome. They are awesome. Yeah, they're very comfortable. They're leggings, and I wear leggings every day, like, as a groomer. I don't wear them outside, but as a groomer, that's what I wear is leggings and our smocks, and they look professional, and they're amazing, and I love our stuff.
And the first weekend that you wore them, you won first place. How about that?
Yeah. Let me tell you. Yep.
Well, you looked amazing doing it. So I think we're going to wrap this up. So thank you guys that submitted all your questions and watched us live while doing this. This is wasn't that bad to set up.
No.
So thank you very much.
As long as it's late. Yeah, see, it's like 10:30 at night right now.
Yeah, so, yeah. And it's a Saturday too. I mean, all these people stayed in.
They did.
To watch us.
That's because most people have off Sundays.
Yes, that's true.
A long day
and Mondays. Saturday. Most.
Yep, Mondays too. Yep.
So if you guys want to, you know, you guys that are listening to this, obviously this is going to be on the podcast. You guys that are watching live, this is going to be on the podcast number 6, and that's going to come out on Monday, first thing in the morning. So check that out. We appreciate you guys and your support. Jazair, what is the next? Now, I always like to ask this question at the end. Where can people find you so that they can talk to you and get tips from you or ask you questions?
My Instagram is at the Loyal Groomer. That is my Instagram. And then my regular page, which has turned into mostly groomers, is Jazair Alvarez. You guys can always contact me on there and ask me questions. Ask me anything. I'm open to answering. Yeah.
And if you tag her on the Loyalty Pet Products Facebook page, also, she'll pop up.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So she'll get those messages as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess the very last question I would like to ask you is, what is your next goal?
Well, I want to make it to the open ring, but I'm really scared.
Because
is like going to the Sharks.
I got doing so good. Funny story. I don't know if you noticed this,
yes.
But somebody who won.
Yes, my class, my group.
Yeah.
Intermediate.
Oh, so
she's going to open.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the scariest, most exciting moment in your life.
But somebody in the, I think, when they announced, I guess the people that were in beginner, is that what it's called?
Entry.
Yeah. So someone that was an entry, they got enough points to go to intermediate, and I guess they got got all their points this weekend.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh shit, and she said it loud because she didn't feel
no,
like she's
was
ready.
No, it my class, I think.
The Are you sure?
Yeah, I was right next to me with the poodle.
Either way, the crowd was
she's
laughing
going
to
open.
At her,
yes.
And unfortunately, Sue Zecco thought that they were laughing at her, and they said, don't laugh at her. But they were laughing at her reaction because she's just like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going into the next level.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't
scary.
Know if I'm ready. And so I forgot to tell this to everybody. So you had to start out at intermediate. Even when you first started
yes.
grooming, and tell people why.
So I have never been in entry and can't ever go into entry because I have been breeding and showing for like 5 years now. My mom's been breeding for so many years and I've been involved in it. So being a breeder or somebody that shows, you have to completely start into intermediate.
So and keep that in mind for those of you guys.
Keep that in mind. That don't get in a showing board before competing.
And I wouldn't like be one of those people that says, oh, well, how are they going to find out?
Oh, people find out. We're on Facebook, guys. Seriously.
They find out, and you don't want to be that person that won something and then like they have to put
Lose
an asterisk next to it. Next
Next.
Asterisk neck to it. So, all right. So your goal is to get into open.
Yes.
And then my goal for you is to become certified in a breed in the next 4 months.
Four months. I don't know about that, but it's all about having all that I do and no time to study.
Like, what?
I need mom, to study, 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 shop, study. And I don't have time. Yeah.
You'll be fine. Four months. No. I think she can do it. What do you guys think? Mm. Let me know. Guys,
it's
thank you.
In non-sporting only, because that's the only thing I know.
Well, thank you guys so much for all your support.
Yes,
and
you guys are awesome.
This is Ryan Alvarez again with Grooming Unleashed Podcast. And this is Jazair Alvarez. Check her out on Instagram at The Loyal Groomer.
Yep.
And honey, I love you.
I'm very proud of you.
And guys, we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thanks.
We appreciate all of you out there who are following and enjoying the podcast. If you could leave a glowing review for Grooming Unleashed, it would mean a lot to us, as well as sharing with your grooming friends, coworkers, bosses, and anyone else in the industry. It would mean a lot. It also would mean a lot if you would visit our sponsor, Loyalty Pet Products, at www.loyaltypetproducts.com. And don't forget, you can use the code UNLEASHED to save 10% off of your next order. Thank you very much for our sponsorship, Loyalty Pet Products, and thank you to all of you guys who are listening to us at Grooming Unleashed. We appreciate you and your support.